Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 228, part 2, the conclusion to serve. Today is Sunday, January 8th, 2012. Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from the studios of North Minneapolis, Pastor Paul's podcast. Actually, that's a microphone, computer, and some software. As we approach January 2012, I wanted to do something a little special for our January intro. So today I have with me here Pastor Paul. And I have some questions for you, Pastor Paul. Let me get my questions out here. Okay. Are you ready, Pastor Paul?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. There's been a rumor for about a year now that you are dead. Is that rumor true? Are you dead?
Actually, there's been, I've been dead three times this year, and I have to live that down, so to speak. But no, I'm alive, well, and kicking, enjoying life to the fullest, and doing what I'm supposed to do down here on the north side.
Okay, so in other words, I am talking to a real person. You are alive, and you are here today. Okay, so we got that out of the way. My second question, in connection with that rumor, when people come here to Pastor Paul's and they see all the hard work that you do, I hear them say something like, Pastor Paul, you're going to work yourself to death. Do you think there's possibly a connection between the rumor of your death and the hard work that you do here?
Not really. What I think is I don't have time for dying or time for getting old. I'm 80 years old, and I've never had the time to get feel that old. Keep yourself busy, folks, and during this time of real trouble in our country, keep yourself occupied. When you get up in the morning, clean the house and get yourself going, and start making plans for the day.
Today's message is called Why, and I want to ask you, why do you do the hard work that you do?
Well, I love to work in the first place. I've always had my hand in a lot of things. But basically right now is not the time to lay down the plow, but to plow full speed ahead and to make this thing work. people out there in the country are in dire straits. We need prayer and fasting for them. I hope that you will pray and fast for me. And look on the bright side of things. Look on the bright side. Don't look at the dark side. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Start working on today and start praying and fasting and believing God for a miracle. That's what I'm believing for right now, with hardly any funding coming in here, people cutting out and running. I'm getting more food than I ever have ever had in all of the time I've been down here. So God is really blessing us here on the north side. And that's how I feel about it.
Okay, Pastor Paul, my final question. We're entering a new year, 2012. What message do you have for your podcast listeners for the coming year?
Keep looking up. Keep helping one another. If you can help someone, do it, and God will bless you back. It's a time for sharing right now and caring for one another and make an example to people that we do care and we do love. This is a great country, and we're, once again, we're on the throes of making it even greater. That's my word.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. The messages for January are: why, serve, the burden, rock plows. Have a great new year. God bless you.
Poor in condition, God of all, pulled his beard out, whipped him, mocked him, called him the devil, Beelzebub. He became poor in communion. He sat with the uneducated sinners. I was at a cafe, and I was sitting with some fellas. And there was this guy over here, and another guy over here, and a businessman over here, and a gal over here, and so on like that. And they said, well, come and sit down with us. Okay, sure. So I sat down. And I just felt somebody look. You ever know when someone's looking at you, felt like somebody was looking at you? Well, not too many people look at me, so I really know when they're looking at me. You know what I mean? And so I just thought, I'm going to take a look at who's ever looking at me. And there over there was an old preacher watch fob. You know where the chain it hangs down? Could just see his. He wasn't shaking his head, but it was like he was shaking his head. Don't you know who you're sitting with? Do you know that I led, in time, I led all of those people to know Jesus Christ? I didn't join in with them. I kept the message going. I kept the gospel out there and everything like that. But see, that's realistic, isn't it? I wonder what would happen if we took our people out to a suburban church. I wonder what would happen. We all drove our cars out there. They would think there was an invasion because of all the smoke, for one thing. And all the noise, it would sound like tanks rolling in. No, let's just tell it like it is. They'd be running around, you know. Man, did you lock your car up? Hey, you got them spoke hubcaps on there? Hey. When I opened this church, I filled it completely up, and I said, you know what? Well, all you people are in here for a one-time thing. And I says, that's the last time I'll see you. You know what's happening right now? They are stealing, our people are stealing, we are stealing your hubcaps. And your radios. And you could just see, man, he just got so nervous. Of course, that wasn't true. And I says, you know something? This is the last time I'm going to see any of you. And I came down here with about 650 or 700 people, and this is what you see, the remains of it right here. You want to know something, folks? Good. Good. See, you're either a preacher, as you're listening on a radio, either have a church without walls, or you have no church at all. Either you're at the highways and the byways ministering unto all creation, and you're going out to where the people are at, or where are you at? I think people have been prayed over so much. I've prayed over people for years. The same thing. You ever seen someone and you'll see them 15 years later and they got the same prayer request? They have. I know God's dealing with me about my weight. I told one sister, I said, "Sister, God isn't concerned about your weight. Just think, now you could be fat and happy. Think how mean you're going to be when you're off your feet." 15 years you've been praying about this thing. I said, "Why don't you just fast for a month?" And those old kind of silly things. Poor in communion dealt with sinners. Then the Bible goes on and says, "He bore our sins." There is a fellow that relates with Jesus. I don't think they talk about him too much. Listen. His name is Philip. He learned how to make the second rate into the first rate. Transform the commonplace. Don't let the commonplace make you common. Be, the Bible says, a peculiar people in a so-called common place. The north side is peculiar. Right now, this common north side is the largest mission food outlet, consistent bag giveaway and outlet ministry in the United States. Isn't that making it a kind of a peculiar ministry down here in the middle of all of this poverty? Who do you suppose is causing that to happen? Why, of course, the grace of God. That's just like the dyer's hands or the mechanic's hands are soiled by what he does. So should our souls be dyed or soiled by our job. If our job is dull, we become dull. If we are, because we don't go ahead and transform that, then... If they are boring, then we are boring. And if it's sickening, we are sickening and monotonous, and so then we're monotonous. Our routine becomes routine. We become dull, sickening, boring, monotonous, crabby, insulting, groove in a rut people, insignificant people made by our jobs. Don't you hate to be served by such a person? Wouldn't you hate to be served by a mechanic that was insulting? What have you been doing with this car that you let it get in this condition? You got a whole group of people sitting there, you know, he comes out with a white frock on. That costs $15 for him to come out and talk to you with a white frock on and a little card. And then you have all these people lined up there waiting for their poodles. What have you been doing with this car? Don't you ever change the oil in it? You know what you remind me of? You remind me of my wife. Yeah, and I noticed underneath your shock absorbers, they're hanging down. Muffler? Disgusting! You want somebody like that to wait on you? Or a waitress that comes up? What do you want, you slob? Sick of looking at you. I remember my mother waited tables, and she had waited tables until she was... Should have quit like 10 years before. I mean, she was in it for like 40-some years, and the guy comes and says, "You know what I feel like, Armetta? I feel like a hot beef sandwich," he says, "and yes, and you look like one too." It became dull and monotonous and sickening to her. No, we should take the commonplace and become peculiar people in a commonplace. Isn't this peculiar? Now, don't get into a rut. Maybe you're a housewife or something, and you think, well, gee, all I am is a mom, I'm a housewife, and I am so sick of this. I'm so sick of these kids crying and carrying on all the time. Shut your big mouth. Can you relate with that? If I hear one more word out of you, Buster, interrupting my program as the world flip-flops, you've had it. No, see, we can make the job a consecrated place. We can make the commonplace a consecrated place by the spirit that we bring into it. Like a musical. You ever see these musicals? They're always singing. They don't have them so much anymore. They used to have, years ago, they always had these musicals. Doris Day was a favorite in there, and they had different ones that they'd have for favorites in there. Name some more. Do you know of any more? It's a spirit that you bring into it. You got to look beyond. Aim high and expect. Aim high on my job. Huh. Yes, you could be a consecrated garbage truck driver. This is the way I load the garbage. Load the garbage. Load the garbage. This is the way I load the garbage. Early in the morning. Mm-hmm. Consecrate your babysitting. Teach, sing, and share. Some people don't like to be around kids because, see, they're kind of dumb. They're stupid. Can't talk to them. Who can talk to a kid? Well, hey, who's a dummy? Teach them how to talk. Teach them something so you got company. That's why a lot of parents can't be with their children. They've never taught them anything. Didn't your mom ever teach you nothing? Close the door. Were you born in a barn? Pretty close to the truth. See, mom was too busy in the dumps. Oh, God. God, I'm down, I'm down, I'm down, 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 down. Oh, I'm down. Oh, never ask a person like that, how are you doing? And they'll say, put the coffee pot on, sit down for, let me tell you. No, consecrate that babysitting. Bring a spirit into it. Consecrate your office job, you listening. Pray before you enter. Expect some trouble. See, your prayers have echoed then through the devil's tomb. You woke him up and he's mad. And you might walk in and say, mornings. What's good about it? Isn't she sickening? Oh, he's walking along. Thinks she's so pursy. Ugh. Huh? No, you create hatred, Christians, when you walk into a place. They don't like you. You're not loved. But you can consecrate that job, and you can, having done all, stand in there and just have that same spirit that dwelled in Christ dwell in you, and sooner or later, that whole place is going to take on a whole different atmosphere if you're not legalistic and walking around like you're some kind of a self-righteous boob. See, some people think after they got saved, they have to talk in King's English. Boss, willest thou give me my check early? I was at the, you must think I spend all my time at the cafe, but every morning I come down, I stop there because I minister there. And this, I sit down, and this guy would always open up with King's English. And you know what I would do? Are you hearing this? No, I'm winding up here. He would get into talking King's English to me. I says, man, I wasn't born in England. Please, just talk in everyday language, okay? I don't understand all that willest thou, and you know what I mean? Just be yourself. He just got totally relieved. He had to think before each word where to put the ist at. Consecrate your school, you young people out there. Consecrate that school. Spell out Jesus. Add it up for Jesus. Multiply your praises. Consecrate the place where you're at. Consecrate the place where you're at, where you're sitting right now in your chair. You know, you can take on a whole new spirit. You know what? Sometimes you get it. You know what a Christian knows when they're getting into the wrong spirit? But it's so much fun getting in there every once in a while. The Bible says, brighten the corner where you are, paraphrased. See, here Philip was really a third-rate man at a second-rate task, doing a first-rate job. See, he was different from the Philip of the 12. He wasn't. He didn't belong up there. The Bible says he was of the seven and among the seven. And then, of course, he was overshadowed by the outstanding member of the seven, Stephen. And you know what his task was? Serving tables. He could have folded right there. He could have said, people just use me. Fill up more water. Fill up, this lamb is cold. Fill up more grapes. Fill up coffee. You wait a table when we're busy down there and you have like 500-600 people that come in. They want to be served, don't they? I've been waiting here for 15 minutes for a second cup of coffee. Well, I mean, you feel like taking a coffee and, huh? Or you can consecrate that. You've been waiting for 15 minutes? No wonder you're so mad. Well, just look how mad you are, and I don't blame you. And now the guy starts to feeling like, oh, I'm not that mad. Right? Consecrate the place where you're at. He could have said, I'm trapped. I'm doomed. I could say that. I'm trapped. I'm trapped down here in this building. Oh, I can't get out. I'm trapped. Help! Serving coffee. 100-pound bags of potatoes. Lord, I'm an old man. Help! I've lived my life. I shouldn't be toting these potatoes. Tell you what, it keeps you in shape. Them big potatoes get the best of you, they'll squash you. You know what I mean? You got to stand up underneath them and get going with them spots. Lord, I'm trapped. I used to have, you remember, one time I was thinking, in my suburban church, I was out there, I didn't have all these problems. Oh, it was great. And people were praising the Lord, and oh, it was just wonderful. And I thought to myself, no, it wasn't. Sometimes you have to talk to yourself, because if you talk to anybody else, they'd lock you up. Huh? You know, you talk to yourself. You encourage yourself. You slap yourself. And then you start. Then you just talk your way out. You say, well, remember, God got you out of that last time. You just talk your way out of trouble. So I went through this thing. I thought, oh, how nice it would be to be back out there on Noble Mountain. See, this is Oliver Valley down here. To be out there. Noble Avenue is where my church was. noble mountain. And to go out and evangelize and have another church in Wisconsin and be known of people. And, here comes Pastor Paul. Oh, I was so blessed by that last... Now, these messages are blasting ministries, not blessing ministries. They blast you, okay? I was so blessed. And then you purse your lips. Pastors, I know how it goes. No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. No, it was all God. Try to put on that humble act. No, it wasn't me. Of course it was me, but no, it wasn't me. No, I never want to go back to that phony thing again, ever. Ever. It's so unrealistic to me, I don't believe I was even into it. I want to be down where the tire hits the road, and I'm talking about the nitty-gritty of the thing. Isn't there a song like that? Boy, doop, down in the nitty-gritty, something like that. I thought so. Are you hearing this message? And I'll go through it as fast. You only got 5 minutes left. Hang with it. A Greek 5 minutes. Lock all the doors and windows. No one's leaving here. But he broke down more barriers. He pushed against more barriers. He went farther than any man in the New Testament, yes, even Paul. Because Paul simply walked through the holes that Philip made and extended what Philip started, added to, in other words. It was Philip, the Bible says, who was the pioneer. Look at the barriers that he broke down. He was a layman and was given the job of serving meals while the apostles preached. Acts 6:2. It is not desirable that we should drop preaching the word of God and attend to meals. And yet Philip was so effective that he was designated the name the evangelist. The first evangelist was Philip. Acts 21:18. Philip, the evangelist. Think about that when you come and you serve tables. Think about that when if the thought might pop into your mind. I'll just use you because you're here, okay? Never sit up front again, I bet, huh? Think about that when you say to yourself, well, gee, I could be at this seminar right now. You know what I mean? I could be involved with this seminar, this big teaching. I'm down here serving these people, and do they really appreciate it? I hear so much of that. How do you know people really appreciate it? What do you want to do? Sit down on someone, pin them down to the floor and say, do you really appreciate what I'm doing? I mean, how would you know if they appreciate it or not? You want to wring their neck to see if they appreciate you? I mean, do you ask someone, do you really appreciate me and what I'm trying to do? Sort of like wringing a confession out of someone with lights on them, like they're being, like in, when they have them in jail? No, Philip, the evangelist, took the commonplace and consecrated it. And we can do the same thing down here. We have done the same thing down here. We're going to continue to do the same thing. Are you hearing this message today? The first to preach the gospel beyond the walls of Jerusalem went down to Samaria. Later, they started a church, the Bible says, in Africa off of his preaching. A reconciler. Shouldn't we be reconciling people onto Christ? Politics. Oh, don't they have the art of seeing trouble everywhere and diagnosing it wrong? They can see problems all over and make studies of it. That's where we come in. We get in the middle of that trouble and we consecrate the situation in there. We don't complain. We go in there and we just get to work in that problem, see, and get to working in that problem. Let the grace of God come in and start doing the work. Seeing trouble everywhere. Now, you'll see on TV, they're seeing trouble. They're seeing trouble over here in New York City. They're seeing trouble over in St. Paul. They're seeing trouble over in Minneapolis. They're seeing. But when you come with an antidote, when you come with, there's only one way out of this mess, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel, they will think you are crazy. But now they're beginning to believe it's the truth. You know why? Because there is no help down here, and it's got to be the Lord Jesus Christ is causing this thing to work. They're even shaking their heads right now, the politicians, and saying, how is that thing working? Why, it's working by the grace of God and by no other hand. It was not desirable that we should drop preaching the word of God and attend the meals. And that began the separation from the spiritual and the material. I mean, the material can be managed by these lesser peoples. I had someone tell me that one time. Well, praise God for you, Pastor Paul. I mean, here you are in this lesser job down here, and you're doing this lesser work down here. And I says, you know, that's the problem. We've separated the gospel, the material, and the spiritual, and we've gone ahead and we've separated them. See, they need to work together. You need to feed people and then give them the gospel. You need to serve people. Are you greater than your master? Jesus came to serve sinners. Are you greater than God Himself? Brother, I don't understand this kind of preaching. What are you trying to tell me? Here, I said, is Philip, and he's carrying a tray around, and he's doing more good than all of the apostles. And he's consecrating that place. Kind of like, I'll take a ham and cheese on rye. Philip says, okay, ham and cheese on rye. Don't worry about the speck in your brother's eye. I mean, consecrate that place. Use the scriptures. Make the scriptures alive. Man does not live on bread alone. Thank you for this bread. Well, you aren't going to live that way alone. Right now, I'm dealing with two gentlemen I'm going to have to minister to. And I mean, they openly need ministry. And a couple of very wealthy men. I'm going to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to. Because really, sometimes we can say we are rich and increased in goods. And Jesus says, yeah, but you don't see that you're miserable, wretched, and poor. Who's poor? Who's really poor? God, I can remember back when I had all that a man would want as far as monetary things. And I can remember driving down the highway, a nervous alcoholic wreck, saying, oh God, how do I get out of this thing? How do I get out of this thing? God, I want out. I wish I was dead. No, I think we need to be reconciled. I think by the example that we're setting and the example of the Lord that's set for us to follow, if we'll, having done all, stand and start to reconcile people and just get in there and get into the nitty-gritty of it and start to just be involved. Now, we're running into a thing here with finances. Oh, I've always been in financial problems. When I was in business, I was in financial problems. And it's like the more successful I was, the more in a hole I was. That showed how much success I was having. How much are you in the hole? Well, I'm about $75,000 in a hole. Well, you must be quite successful to be that far in the hole. It's the same way down here. It's a success and it's always running in a hole. But the secret of it is to keep running. Keep running. I don't know if you've heard me say this before, but I think it's important to repeat it for radio audiences and people that right now. And it says, hearts will fail in the end. You know why? Because of finances. And I always tell people, I says, I am running the rim. I'm $30,000 in the hole, and I'm always $30,000 in the hole, and I'm running the rim. I said, what do you mean by that? I said, I'm running, because if I stop, I'll fall in. And then while I'm running, and I'm running the rim, and I'm running, I throw bones back, and the bill collectors fight over the bones that are back there, and I'm okay. And I'll run that 30,000 in the hole. I'm always 30,000 in the hole. But you know what? It keeps me running. And it works. God is able to make it work. Right now, this ministry is getting ready to totally double. Isn't it? I mean, now we're $30,000 in the hole, and the thing is getting ready to double. Do you stop it? Say, oh, we're not going no further until we pay all these bills. No, put the brakes on. I remember when I went down and I asked for $200,000. Okay, now don't let me scare you. But I asked for $200,000, and I said, I need $200,000. He says, no. This is about 5 years ago. I'm looking at these books. You are going tubes, fella. Well, I says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bend that tube, and I'm going to get inside of that tube, and I'm going to run that tube. I says, and I'm going to increase it. And I came back, and I said, double everything. Double the bags. Double this, double that, double everything. I made an appeal on TV, which nobody listened to, and it even went nationwide. And I says, I really need money. I got the eviction papers right here. And then I got busy and I doubled everything. I'm still here. Still here. Who do you suppose keeps works going? Just like I read in the first there, in the Psalms. Who do you suppose will keep you alive? God. Give your life to gain your life. Is there anybody in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Are you born again, dear? Born again? Okay. Anybody in here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Are you born again, young man? Are you born again? Huh? Okay. I'm glad you came today. Are you born again, young man? Closer. You can only get so close. I'm so glad you came today. Grab my hand. The Bible says, if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou will be saved. It's a very, very simple gospel. We don't have to create it into something that's really hard to get into. You don't work your way into it. You simply receive it, okay? I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Just pray with me and say, Dear Lord Jesus. Can you pray right out like that and say, Dear Lord Jesus. Yes. I am a sinner. We all are. Come into my heart and save me. Praise God. I'm saved. Now, Jesus, baptize and fill me with God's Holy Spirit. Give me wisdom and knowledge, peace, joy, and love. And Lord, a new language. Praise your holy name. Amen. Amen. So glad you came today. What's your name?
Edward.
Edward. What's your name?
Terry.
Edward and Terry. Well, you know, it says that God predestines things. You ever been someplace, Edward, and let's say you were in school, and you say, God, this happened to me before. It ever happened to you?
Sure, of course.
It's like a predestinated thing. Well, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. And it's also, it's no, a secret what God can do, but it's also a mystery that you are here today, but it was foreordained that you would be here today, and it was foreordained that you would be here today. You know that? And it was foreordained that I would be down here. So I stopped asking myself that question a long time ago. That song, Why Am I Living? Whatever, song like that. Well, I know why I'm living. To glorify God. Everybody is. You know what? It's working out for you. It'll work out for you, too. You've been in here before, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been
here before. Uh-huh. But you said you're working on it. Well, that's true in a sense. But I mean, still, just want to rededicate, huh? God bless you. God bless you. Let's hear it for these two guys here.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 228. That was part two, to serve. If you missed part one, go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes. Within those show notes are scripture links. Join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two. Next Friday, Pastor Paul's message is The Burden. Have a great week. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. Gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
And it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.